So Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. And it came to pass, we're speaking about Samson, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Amen. May God be pleased to bless to us this reading from his word. Whenever the name of Samson is mentioned, the name Delilah is never far behind. Samson had judged the people of Israel for 20 years. And we don't know a thing about what transpired during those 20 years. Nothing is mentioned about what he did in those 20 years. From that time when he slew all the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, all of 20 years transpired, and we don't know what happened in that time. We don't know all the good that he did in that time. But we know about the bad that he did in this episode here. We know about this sin that he committed. We know about the lust of Samson. We know about the lies of Samson. And we know about the eyes of Samson. And I think there's a little lesson here for us right at the very outset of today's thoughts. That all the good that a man does and all the good that a woman does can be largely forgotten and overshadowed by one foolish action, one foolish mistake, and a whole lifetime of faithfulness and uprightness and honour to the Lord can be lost. Sin is a little bit like a mouse trap. There's an interesting analogy. And you're the mouse. You're the mouse. And the devil tempts. And he says, look how attractive this is. Look how pretty. Look how much satisfaction, how much pleasure this would give you. Look how desirable this is. And because of our flesh, we find it so easy to be drawn towards those things which attract us. And we follow the passions of our hearts and the desires of our flesh and snap. Gotcha. Just like that. Just as easy as that. That's how sin creeps up on a man. That's how sin takes a woman. That's how the circumstances of our life can change so quickly because of one foolish mistake. And don't talk to me of free will. You see, people say that men are free to follow God or not follow God as they choose to do it. Who gave you the strength to follow God? Who gave you the strength to withstand temptation? Who gave you the smartness, the intelligence to know that that was a mousetrap there? No, free will. You look at the life of Samson. Here was a man of whom it was said he was of such faith that the world was not worthy of him. And yet here he is in the arms of this lady Delilah. Not too much is said about her, but I don't think that any of us can have much doubt that the way in which she acted and the things that she did and the way in which she was motivated would suggest to us that she was really not the person that Samson should have been spending time with. He does not appear to have been a man who was very wise with his choice of women and who to love. But I want to point out one thing here that I think is important, and we're going to return to this later. Samson loved this girl. He loved her. That's what we're told in Scripture. It wasn't just lust. It wasn't just desire. He loved her. And I want to return to that passion in a little while. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, we are reminded that There is a blindness that comes upon all men and women with regard to spiritual things. The verse says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And Samson proved that verse to be true. He had been enticed, he had been attracted, he had been drawn to this lady, to this girl. And now he lies in her company. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, we read these words. Ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. There is a saying which goes something like, there are none so blind as those who will not see. And it takes the Lord to open the eyes of a sinner and to show them the Lord Jesus Christ and to show them how weak they are, how inadequate they are, how impossible it is for them to save themselves, and how they must repent of their sins and find all of their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I took time to read the whole narrative of Delilah, and I read it slowly, I trust, in a way that should be understandable to most people here. The narrative is very simple. It's straightforward. Even a child can understand. So what I want to do this morning, if I may, and I appreciate my time short, and I appreciate that some of you people have got planes to catch. So I want to just draw four simple points to your attention this morning. To take four statements from this passage and to endeavor to bring out some spiritual lessons for our hearts. The first one is this. Delilah's statement, the Philistines be upon you, is repeated several times. And I think it speaks to us of the nature of temptation and of sin. What do I mean? Delilah said to Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. You are already too deep in sin by the time you realize your predicament. That's what that message tells us. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. What was he doing in that girl's bedroom? What was he doing spending his time in that lady's house? Why was he there? He was a judge in Israel. He had responsibilities. He had a divine duty to God. He had been set apart as a servant of God to a great task. What is he doing here? Samson, it's too late. When the Philistines are upon you, you're already gone. And it's something that we need to remember too, that sin lulls a man and a woman to sleep. And in their sleep, it binds them with ropes, it binds them with withes, it binds them with a loom, it sends in a barber, and it's already too late. The Philistines are upon you. When you waken up to realize the state of your predicament, it's already too late. And that's the nature of sin. How many people have got to that point in their life and they've had to say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what was happening. And yet, it happens all the time. Men sleep in the bosom of Delilah until it is too late and the judgment of God comes upon them. And we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel with the hope of wakening men and women up out of their slumber, to show them that there is danger lying, lurking at every step, to rouse them from that deadly sleep that will take them to a lost eternity, that will take them to hell, except God the Holy Spirit stirs up their souls and they are bestirred from the wrath that is to come. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, we read these words. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Why will you die? Waken up. Can't you see the danger that you're in? Can't you see that sin is so deeply ingrained in your life that your very will is twisted and contorted to the pursuit of evil and wickedness and lust? Can't you see that? Waken up! The Philistines are upon you. How can we pass from this moment and that thought by not reminding ourselves too that the way of salvation is found in this simple fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne the judgment for the sins that we have committed? We remember how the body of the Lord was subject to the cruelty and the viciousness and the attacks of the devil, the abuse of men, and finally the unmitigated wrath of God upon his soul. And he suffered for the sake of his precious people. The Philistines came upon the Lord. He felt the wrath and the judgment of God and man upon his soul. When we come to the gospel, we are called to look away from ourselves and see the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he suffered. For the sake of his precious people, surely the Philistines came upon the Lord Jesus Christ that he might deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. Here's another thing I want to mention to you from these verses. It says that the soul of Samson was vexed unto death. I think this is a very interesting statement. We're told that this girl had come several times with these attempts to find out where his strength laid. And she came repeatedly and she said to him that he had betrayed her trust. But we read at the opening of this verse 4 that it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And I don't want to minimize the fact that that is what the Bible says. He loved her. And so when I come to verse 16 and I read there, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I find myself thinking, what? Samson's soul was vexed unto death. I think it's a very interesting statement. To death? A destructive dilemma had entered into Samson's soul. Now listen carefully. This man was a Nazarite from his birth. He was a judge in Israel. He was a man anointed of God, a man upon whom the Spirit of God rested, a man who was empowered mightily on numerous occasions by God the Holy Spirit. But he was a man of flesh. He was a man subject to like passions, such as we are. Harry Nilsson once sang, "I can't live if living is without you." I bet that's the only Sovereign Grace sermon preached this morning where Harry Nilsson is quoted. That was Samson's situation. He couldn't live without Delilah. He couldn't live without that girl. A man of God, a judge in Israel, had become so engaged with this girl, so full of her charms, so touched by her passions, so softened by her love towards him, it appeared, at least to him, that he was blinded before he was blinded. He was smitten with love. And when she said to him, "Samson, you've deceived me these 3 times. You haven't told me. You don't love me. You don't trust me. There's a breach between us. Will you tell me all your heart or not?" He was faced with a dilemma. Am I going to have this girl or not? And his soul was vexed unto death. Life would be empty without her. The trial of being without her was too great. Dying seemed preferable to not having his Delilah. Can you imagine that? That's what this verse is telling us. Life under some other circumstances he couldn't face if he didn't have Delilah. Listen, let's not be too critical of this man. That's what love does to people. That's what happens. This is speaking to us with such earnestness, such honesty, that here is a man who is so besotted, so much touched in his heart and in his soul with this girl, that he can't see beyond himself. And which one of us would want to say that we could handle the situation better? Remember, this was one of those of whom it was said the world was not worthy. He was a man of faith. He was a hero of the faith. And yet here he is, vexed unto death. He would rather die than be without the woman that he loved, even although she was a devious schemer. And I don't think that I'm pressing this picture too far to point out again to you how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church, loved his people, even when we were devious schemers. There's pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in Samson's life, even here. The church, sinful, adulterous, that she was, much like Delilah, brought him into this world in order to die for her redemption. The Philistines be upon thee. Sin just creeps up very easily. His soul was vexed unto death. He loved that girl, even to the point that he couldn't go on if he didn't have her. And here's the third one. He wist not, he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. Something very sad in this statement here about the fact that the Lord had departed from Samson, and he didn't even know that that had taken place. There's something disconcerting in that statement, that the man of God didn't know that the Lord was no longer with him. I think that the situation of an individual is doubly dire if they think they have the Lord with them and they don't. There's lots of people out there who have no thought about God being with them. But there are many people out there who think that God is with them. And maybe there are some people in here who think that God is with them. And they don't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. Would you know? How would you know? How would you know if the Spirit of the Lord had departed from you? The religious world is convinced that it has God's peace, that it has God's forgiveness, that it has God's love, that it knows something of the grace of God. That's what religion does. It teaches people, it tells people that they have all of these attributes, all of these qualities of God as theirs, as their portion. And they are going to hell with that lie in their hand, with that lie reverberating in their ears that everything is all right, everything is going to be fine. How would you know? If somebody had told you, yes, you're saved, yes, your sins are forgiven, yes, the Lord loves you, yes, you're going to heaven, how would you know if you weren't? That's the deception, the great deception. It's a pitiful state, and such people have become immune to the gospel. They're too self-righteous to see that they have a need. They're blinded by the fact that they haven't got Christ. They imagine that all is well with their soul, and they march in step with the world underneath the banner of a false hope. It's like the Pharisee and the publican that went up to the temple to pray. And one said, look at all the blessings that God has given me, and I'm glad I'm not like these other people. And the other said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the man that I want to spend time with. That's the man that I want to know. That's the person that knows he has a need before God. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I wonder what went through the mind of that man Samson when he stood up. And it wasn't ropes or withes or the loom that was binding his hair on this occasion. His hair had been cut while he slept. His hair had been cut, and he stood up and he said, I'll do what I always do. And he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. And shall we not remember that the Father departed from the Son there on the cross? Shall we not remember that for the sake of the salvation of the elect, that Christ was forsaken upon the cross? There, of course, we know full well that the Saviour was fully cognizant, fully aware that he had been so abandoned. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that was the price of redemption. That was what had to happen. That one had to come under as a substitute, as a surety, as one who stood in the place of another. He had to come under that very judgment of being abandoned by God. And in those moments of separation upon the cross, in those hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the weight of the sin and the guilt and the iniquity of his people, and he carried the price of that. He carried the weight of that sin, that burden. And we have no idea what the soul of our blessed Lord endured through his life in the garden, on the cross, and especially in those hours of darkness. My prayer this morning, my hope is that this gospel of Jesus Christ the substitute, Jesus Christ the only way of salvation, will rouse you from your lethargy. What will quicken you from that spiritually dead state that you are in. Will show that there is a way of salvation to you, and enable you to lay hold upon that and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that you arrive someday at the gates of hell, imagining that you are one of the Lord's people when you are not. This is a matter upon which you must not, you cannot be mistaken. Matthew 7:23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, I feel these words are challenging, and I know that they are, and I don't apologize for them. For I can't make any assumptions about your soul. But I'm glad that I can end on a positive note. And here's the fourth point. The hair of his head began to grow again. Samson had betrayed the Lord. Samson betrayed the Lord in this episode of his life. Samson chose Delilah over Christ. Samson stumbled in his faith and he fell into sin. But I am glad to be able to tell you this morning that he fell in Christ, and he did not fall away from Christ. Though he forgot the Lord did not forget him. And he's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. There is a way back. There is that gate, that beautiful gate that opens to those who come repenting of sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his blood. What a sad state Samson was brought to. There speaks here about five stages of torment that they imposed upon that man. Verse 21, the Philistines took him, they put out his eyes, they brought him down to Gaza, the strongest city that they had, they bound him with fetters of brass, that's in plural, fetters of brass, they wrapped chains around him, and he did grind in the prison house. They mocked him even in his strengthlessness. Is that a word? They mocked him and they made him push the beam of the grinding stones to mill out the flour in the midst of the prison because he had the reputation of being strong and mighty. But time passed and his hair began to grow. His strength returned. And the strength wasn't in his hair. The strength was in his faith. He began to realize. He began to commune with God again. He saw the error of his way. He saw the mistakes that he made, and he saw that there was a way back. I say this, Samson's trials led him back to Christ. What torment he faced when his eyes were taken. What torment he faced when he was bound in chains and made to grind at the millstone in the prison. What mockery he endured. And yet in the midst of his trials, as a true child of God, as one of the elect of God, as one of those for whom Christ died, as one of those for whom the precious blood of Jesus Christ had been shed, God the Holy Spirit returned to this man and caused him to lean once again upon God and not upon his own strength. So I say this to you, there is hope. There is hope. You say, he's chained, he's blind, he's laboring, he's mocked. No good can come of this. What good can come out of these circumstances in my life? What benefits are there to be had in all of this trial that I'm facing? Samson's case was hopeless. No, it wasn't. And nor is your case hopeless. God's ways are not our ways. God's purposes are beyond us. And Samson would rise again. All you've suffered, all the experiences that have brought you to this place, to this moment, to this church, to this gospel, to this Christ, it will be worth it all if you find Christ and if you go on in the strength of God in your life. In the loneliness of the prison cell, his hair began to grow. Despite the darkness of his sightless eyes, his hair began to grow. As the tormentors kicked him and punched him and prodded them with their sticks, his hair grew longer and his faith returned, because God was not finished with Samson yet. And I pray this morning that God is not finished with you. I pray that you will find faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will see him suffering for you, dying for you, and find in him the peace that passes understanding and the joy of the Lord. I'm done. Titus 3 verse 7 says this, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And one last sentence, and then these people are going to disappear in a cloud of dust. I wonder what happened to Delilah. What happened to Delilah? I hope she was happy with the money. I hope it eased her conscience. I hope it bought her a friend. Maybe we can adapt for the sake of Delilah this final verse. What has a woman profited if she shall gain the whole world and lose her own soul? What shall a woman give in exchange for her soul? Amen. May God bless these thoughts to us this morning.